Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 14. I'm so thankful for our young people. What a blessing they are. Keep praying for them. Luke chapter 14, we get back to our series through the Gospels. Luke chapter 14 tonight, we're going to pick up at verse 7. We're going to talk about the importance of humility and giving tonight. If you're able, let's stand together. Luke chapter 14, verse 7. You'll remember Jesus has been invited to dinner, and for not good purposes. They tried to set Jesus up. They had somebody there that had the dropsy just to check Jesus, see if he would heal him on the Sabbath day. And of course he did, because it's perfectly lawful. It's the right thing to do, to heal people on the Sabbath day. So of course Jesus did good and helped people. And then we find in verse 7, he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Our Heavenly Father, please give us hearts of humility. It's bound up in our nature, in our carnal minds and in our flesh, to be prideful. And Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you tonight and every day of our lives. Lord, we know you promise if we would humble ourselves, you will lift us up. So, Father, please teach us not to lift ourselves up, but to be humble before you, to esteem others better than ourselves, to love others as you did. And please convict our hearts tonight of anything that's in our hearts and lives that we need to repent of and get right with you tonight. I pray that your will be done in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Two very simple points tonight. I would like to talk to you about a parable for the self-important guest and a lesson for the self-centered host. First of all, a parable for the self-important guest. So Jesus came and went to the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, and they were watching him to try to find fault with him. But you might notice that Jesus was watching them. In verse 7, we read, he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them. Now, it's important to understand a few things from this passage. If you study it out, you'll find this word rooms is not the way we would think of rooms today. If you were to come over to my house, we have a living room and a kitchen, and we have a few bedrooms, but that's not what this is talking about as far as rooms. But it's the Greek word's a compound word. It literally means reclining first. And so when you went to a meal in biblical days, they didn't have a table and chairs like most of you probably do at your house, but they had a low table, and they usually had a pillow or some type of cushion, and you sat down very low to the ground or on the ground, and you reclined at the table. And so that's the picture that we have. And so this reclining first meant that there was a place of preeminence. And the way that these tables were arranged, history tells us that they typically had three main tables that only sat three people at each table, and they were arranged in somewhat of a horseshoe shape, and the prominent people had the place in the middle, and of course the middle table and the middle seat was the chiefest place. And so people would scramble to get the highest place, and Jesus marked how those that were invited by the chief priest were fighting with each other, trying to get the best seat. All right? Now, I know that some of you can't imagine something like that, but some of you didn't grow up like I did. When we had supper with all of our family and the cousins, when everybody was there, there was fighting over the seats. Anybody else deal with any of that? Yeah, okay, some of you understand that. God bless you. Sister Alicia always has, she has an understanding of children fighting with each other. I don't know why. It was like that. I think about when we get in the car and there were more than, two of us to get in the vehicle, people fought over which seat to get. I remember growing up and getting on the school bus. There was fighting over who got the best seat on the school bus, which we all know is the back seat on the school bus, right? So when bus driver goes off of the side of the road into a culvert, you fly the highest. You guys obviously have better school bus drivers than we did. That was a common occurrence. But there was this thing, just like children fighting over the best position. Or when the teacher says, okay, kids, line up. It's time to go to recess or time to go to lunch. Kids are fighting to see who can get in front. And that's the way these grown men were. They were trying to jockey for position. They were trying to get in the best place. And Jesus marked how they did that. And I want you to notice this. Jesus is watching us. He's not just watching you while you're at church. Like, he doesn't hit the record button when you walk in this building and hit the turn off the button when you walk out of this building. But he's watching you when you're here. He's watching you when you are sitting at your breakfast table or your lunch table or your dinner table. And he's watching us everywhere. And Jesus marked how they behaved. And I just want you to know that he marks how you and I behave as well. And sometimes that might fill you with joy. And other times that might fill you with terror and shame. But Jesus was watching. And so as he marks how they chose out the best place, he gives them a parable. So these are self-important guests, and the Lord's going to give them a parable. Now in verse 8, Jesus says, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. Listen, when somebody invites you, don't assume to take the best position. Now, most of us today, we have a hard time wrapping our mind around this. Very rarely do we have any places of prominence that are understood to be so. Some of you in this church think that the place of prominence is the back row. Others think the place of prominence is the front row. And others just want to be somewhere in the middle, as far away from anybody else as you can get. Is that not true? I don't know about you, but when I walk into a church service and I want to sit somewhere, I don't snuggle up to somebody. Right, I sit on the end of the pew. I leave as much space between me and the next person as possible. That's just kind of the way we're wired. And so it's hard for us when you go to a wedding. I mean, we think about going to weddings. If you go to a wedding and they have a reception, sometimes they'll have a name place for you, a little card that tells who sits at the table. And they've determined that for you. And I don't know any of you that would go in and switch places with somebody. Like, I want a better table. I'm going to sit over here. And so it's hard for us to really think about a wedding feast or being invited to somebody's house for dinner like this was. But we understand the principle that we should put others ahead of ourselves, that we should humble ourselves. I want you to note in verse 8 that Jesus said, be careful because a more honorable man than thou might show up. Did you know that there are people who are more honorable than me and more honorable than you? Did you know that there are people who are held in higher esteem? There are people who, by their merit or by their character or by their position, have a higher place than we do? That might be a hard pill for some of us to swallow, but the attitude that we ought to have is that everybody is above me. We ought to put ourselves down. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. So you get the picture, you come in, you pick the best seat, and then the host comes up and says, hey, I'm gonna need you to move down so that this fella can sit here. Now, who wants to do that? Who wants to do that? So the walk of shame has to happen. Proverbs 13 and verse 18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. We need to hear the instruction of the Lord and understand that we want to humble ourselves. In verse 10, when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Now, I want you to understand this word worship. It doesn't mean that people are going to bow down and fall at their knees at your feet. It means that they're going to honor you. They're going to give you respect, that you'll have some dignity. And that's not a bad thing. Far better to sit at the low seat and the guest says, what are you doing down here? Come on up here. Come sit at this higher place. A little better, wouldn't it be? If you ever want to rise up, you'll have to begin low. If you ever want to rise up, you'll have to begin low. Verse 11, Jesus says, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I think this is a difficult lesson for people to learn in our society today. People are very self-promoting. I can't help but, when I study this, think about the athletes that we have that people seem to idolize, and the celebrities that we have that people seem to lift up, and they are so stuck on themselves, and they're so full of themselves, and it's all about them. And I see young people following that trend, that they see those people who are so full of themselves, so they want to grow up and be so full of themselves. And it's just this perpetual thing that goes on, and the Bible tells us that we don't need to be that way. Proverbs 17:19 says, He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. When you put yourself in your place, in your position, all you're gonna end up with is destruction. Now over in Luke chapter 18, the Lord gives a parable. And he gives the parable to people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised other people. In Luke 18 and verse 10, Jesus says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even of this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Over and over, the word of God tells us. Notice this, the publican, the Jews looked at publicans like they were the worst people on the planet. They were traitors. They were tax collectors. They were sellouts. They were supposed to be Jewish people, but they had sold out to the Roman government. They'd sold out their own people. But Jesus says that when the publican humbles himself before God, he finds justification. Friends, we've got to come to a place where we humble ourselves. A man's pride will bring him low, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Listen, pride is at the root of everything that goes against God. It's at the root of why Lucifer was exalted himself, why he was against God, and it's at the root of everything that stands in between us and a right relationship with God. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Peter tells us God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." It's really simple, guys. If you lift yourself up, you put yourself in a high position, you're going to be brought down low. But if you'll keep yourself low, keep yourself humble, then God will lift you up. So there's the parable for the self-important guest. Next, please notice a lesson for the self-centered host. A lesson for the self-centered host. In verse 12 in our text, Luke 14 and verse 12, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Jesus has a message for those that came and they were jockeying for position. They were self-important guests, but he also has a message for the self-centered host. He says to the one that invited him over, in verse 12 he says, listen, when you make a dinner or a supper, don't call all your friends and brethren. Now, I don't believe this is an absolute thing, like you should never have your family over or your friends over for dinner. But the principle is, some of you are like, man, that's really good. I'm glad to know Jesus said that. I don't have to have my family over anymore. No more Christmas dinners. I don't think this is an absolute, but here's the principle is this. Don't do things for what you can get out of it, but do things to be a blessing to others, to help those in need. So what happens? Well, if you want to have a meal for people who have a lot, Proverbs 22:16 says, he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Listen, if you're going to have a meal for people who have a lot, you're going to have to provide a lot, and it's going to cost a lot, and it's going to bring you down a lot. He says, listen, you can have a lot more to give. If you give to those who don't have much, you can be a greater blessing to them. The idea here is that this chief Pharisee that invited Jesus over, invited all of these wealthy guests, all of his influential friends, all of these people of high regard, except for the man that had the dropsy and Jesus, right? He had to have somebody there that had something wrong with him for Jesus to heal, and then he had to have Jesus try to set him up. But what we see is these people giving something so they can get something in return. And then they pay back what they've been given, and it's all about what you can get out of it. And it's never a concern for those who have less. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. I'm afraid in our society today, anytime you have an opportunity to do something or to give something or to help someone, so many people's first question is, what's in it for me? I look at the politicians and the politics that go on in our country today, and that's what you see is a lot of this. Like, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. I think that kind of negotiating goes on in politics. We know that kind of negotiating goes on in business. I'm afraid that kind of negotiating goes on in families. I'm afraid a lot of couples, that's the way they work. It's all this keeping score. Like, well, I did this, so you need to do that. And I'm telling you, it's not a healthy attitude in your marriage. And it's certainly not what the Lord's called us to do as a church. You see, when you do things, when you give, when you help, in the name of Jesus, expecting nothing in return, you're laying up treasures in heaven. In Acts chapter 24, verse 14 through 16, Acts 24:14 says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. What I want you to understand, friends, is there's a resurrection day coming. And we can't be focused on the here and the now. We've got to understand that there's something else out there. That there is a kingdom of God that lasts forever and ever. And we've got to start living for that kingdom. And God's economy works different than our economy. God's economy is not about getting what you can get. It's about giving. And God is the way he works is the more you give, the more he's going to bless you. And it may not be the way we would expect. Had the opportunity to share the gospel with a young lady earlier today, and she was lamenting the fact that it seems like the worst things happen to the best people. Like, the better people are, the worse things get. And so I took them to Luke chapter 16. And you look at the rich man and Lazarus. In this life, the rich man fared sumptuously every day. He had everything you could ever want. But in death, he had eternal torment. You look at Lazarus, and in this life, he had nothing. He had nothing but misery and hunger and pain. But in death, he had everything. You see, there's more to it than the here and now. And we've got to stop doing things for what we can get out of it. We've got to start esteeming others better than ourselves. And we've got to start thinking every man not only on his own things, but also on the things of others. You see, I think it really is right. The old acronym, most of you learned just like I did. Joy, J-O-Y. It's Jesus first. It's others second. And it's yourself last. And if we can learn to have that mindset, if we can learn to have that heart, if we can learn to live that way, we really will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. It comes with humbling ourselves. We've got to have humility if we want the Lord to exalt us. And we've got to learn to give, focus on giving, if we ever hope to receive the blessings of God. Tonight, we're going to stand together and have a verse of invitation. I wonder where our hearts are at tonight. It's so easy to be focused on ourselves and not others. We're so concerned about being comfortable, about having things the way that we want them to be. And I just want to ask you to examine your heart tonight. Who are you focused on? Are you thinking about what you want, what you need, what you perceive to be the things that are important to you? Or are you concerned about others? Husbands, are you concerned about your wives and your children? Wives, are you concerned about your husbands and your children? Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we worried about ourselves and what we want and our ideas and our preferences? Or are we focused on one another? Are we caring about others? Because that's where real discipleship is defined, in our love one to another. The Holy Spirit of God's convicting your heart tonight about anything. If there's anything that's not right between you and him, you come right now while we sing.